Knucklehead.
What's up, guys? We're the Knuckleheads Podcast. I'm the fanboy.
And I'm the hater. And on today's episode, we talk.
Oh, are we doing dramatic pause or?
A pause that you can drive a truck through. Spaceball.
Spaceball's the movie.
Spaceball's the movie. Which.
So let's just say you're about to be. So we decided to do a random episode about Spaceballs because not only do we love Spaceballs and we grew up on Spaceballs, I still consider Spaceballs Mel Brooks' best movie. Some say it's Young Frankenstein. Some say Men in Tights, Blazing Saddles, The History of the World Part 1, or Part 2, rather.
I think Mel Brooks very seldomly made a bad movie.
Remember, a lot of people also potentially consider these bad movies. So don't forget to rate and subscribe to the Knuckleheads Podcast on all platforms. Buy our shit on Teespring and enjoy. So I read recently, I don't want to give you a time and date because I don't have one, that Mel Brooks said that they are in early talks for Spaceballs 2. So I wanted to open up with how do you feel about a part two now being, you know,
40 fucking, years later?
Yeah, it was I think 87 or something.
Something like that. It came out after Return of the Jedi. So
33 years later, something like that.
I don't know. It depends. I think it depends on a lot of things because, like, you know, like you don't have John Candy. You know what I'm saying? But I would like write that in as a gag of like he died from a dog disease or something.
Or so the Matrix.
Yeah, but I mean, you could probably spoof her voice or something.
And Mel Brooks is like 600 years old at this point.
Yeah, he's fucking super old. So the question would be like, I think it would be more like you got to bring back some of the old characters to definitely do a passing of the torch to kind of reset it, kind of like Star Wars style, but at least give those characters a better kind of send off than they did in Star Wars. So I think it could work because I would hope Mel Brooks would write it, or somebody who has his comedic sensibilities has to write it, you know what I'm saying? Because it still had, you know, when the laughs weren't going in that movie.
I would assume that.
Yeah, when it wasn't having laughs, it felt like a sci-fi movie, like a, you know what I'm saying? And like the people who worked at Industrial Light and Magic worked on Spaceballs. The guy who did the models for Star Wars literally did the models for fucking Spaceballs. So
yeah, it's my one biggest thing that always really bummed me out about Spaceballs is that George Lucas never gave them the rights to make toys, because yeah. I always wanted, in that one fucking scene where Dark Helm is playing with Spaceballs toys, I always wanted a Barf figure. And I, like, always, growing up my whole life, because Barf was always my favorite character, because I loved Cool Running when I was a kid, and, like, Barf, John Candy was always really funny to me. So I think that's one of the I believe that's one of the hardest parts right now with John Candy being dead. They lose something. Also, if I would definitely 1000% say if they do make a part two, and if Rick Moranis is not in it, they shouldn't do it. If he's not in to play Dark Helmet, don't do it.
Well, now he's back from his retirement. I guess he ran out of money. So I could
too. No, his wife died and stuff.
Yeah, he retired from acting for years. Well,
because he was with his wife.
I thought she had died mad years ago, and then he retired to like raise the family and do all those things.
Yeah,
but then I'm assuming he ran out of money, so he had no choice but to come back.
I don't think it was a money thing, to be honest.
He ain't that motherfucking rich. He ain't raking it in. He ain't got that many movies under his belt.
I mean, even if he does, like. It says his net worth right now is $10 million.
Yeah, so
that's still more than we got.
Yeah, but we can suck my dick,
though. It says the, $10 million. Then it says, let's see, because it was something about the tragic truth of why he left. You know, because, dude, you got to think about Ghostbusters. You got to think about all the movies that he actually was in and, you know, he was really good in.
Yeah, he was good, but I don't think he's the end-all, be-all. But I wouldn't even make him, like if it's a handoff movie, like, I would make him, like, the Emperor style. Like, Dark Helmet would be, like, the new Emperor to make fun of that portion of the story. And, like, you know, Yogurt passing on the Schwartz, the teaching of the Schwartz to a new person.
So, I saw something on Reddit that said Spaceballs 2, Rise of the Schwartz. Yeah. I saw that one. I think that would be cool, but I think it would be better to do Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2. I think that's what Mel Brooks said. I think that's a better, funnier idea.
And that's in line with his like comedy.
Is he the only director or writer that's like skipped numbers and went to like part two before he did part one? Like I would love to see another one, but I feel like, so we've seen many part twos or part threes or whatever. Bill and Ted is one. Coming to America 2 is another. I can't think of another one right this second, but
that was like, Bill and Ted 3, by the way.
Yeah, Bill and Ted 3. But so I liked it because of nostalgia, but I thought Coming to America 2 fell flat. Like they really went to the well too many times and they tried to go all the old gags, but then they tried to make it really hip and modern. And I don't think for that movie it works now. So I would hope that in this one, if they are going to pass the torch or, you know, whatever, because like if it was me, I would write it about what's his face, Lone Star's family, his parents, like they find them and like, or they appear somewhere and like they have to like find the parents or like they got a lead on where the parents are and he goes. And like, to be honest, I would so fucking make his dad, Mark Hamill. Because I think that would be funny.
I don't know. I think if I was going to go, like, I guess it would have to be more, for me, more, I would think Lone Stars and Vespa's Child. Like, you know, like he's maybe like he's learning in the way of the Schwartz and stuff like that. Or, you know, like somehow maybe like the Spaceball, like Return, or even the same Return of the Spaceballs and stuff like that. Like, they're able to, you know, they somehow survive or colonize another world and they fuck it up. Kind of like, you know, they're like right back where they started. Like, you know, they do when they do the crawl, like, oh, the Spaceballs managed to survive and conquer another world, steal all the air, but now they're back where they started because they fucked it up because they're just a bunch of fucking buttheads.
And then they make a new maid.
like pull some of those older jokes out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, things of that nature. And then I saw one recently that the movie wasn't originally going to be called Spaceballs. Original name was Planet Moron, mm-hmm. and they had changed it. And when they changed it to Spaceballs, that's why all of the Spaceball troops, they all have that big ball on their head for the helmet, is it was changed because of the movie title, literally. And I was just like, that was fucking like serendipitous. It was so great to see that. And then, what's his name? The guy who plays Colonel Sanders. Between him and Rick Moranis, I think they had the best like back and forth in that whole flick.
Because they also abandoned, because it was supposed to be Morons from Outer Space, I think.
Something like that.
Or Planet Moron, Morons from Outer Space, I think was actually a movie. That's why they changed it.
Yeah, I think it was the movie that came out in like Britain or something.
Yeah, I think the movie, I believe, was Morons from Outer Space, and that was released. So, you know, they probably like, all right, like we have to change it. And I remember the one thing I saw, they wanted desperately to have space in the title. They like space had to be in the title or something. Yeah. That was like a big thing. So I know one other fact that I wanted to bring up was the George Lucas, like he gave his blessing, but it was like conditional.
Yeah. He let them spoof Star Wars. He wouldn't sue them or anything. He gave them the ability to spoof it, but they couldn't have any merchandise, which I mean, in reality, that's where George Lucas made his fucking billions from, was the merchandising.
Merchandising. This one says, number three, George Lucas gave his conditional blessing. Satire is generally exempt from litigation, but Brooks was an admirer of Lucas's work and wanted to get his permission before starting on the movie. Working on a funny film, quote unquote, of his own with Howard the Duck, Lucas agreed, but only on the condition that no Spaceball merchandising be made available. The Lucas people were just upset about one aspect of Spaceballs, Brooks told Starlog in 1987. They didn't think it was fair for us to do a takeoff and then merchandise the character. So I guess takeoff means like rip off their characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the set of toys that he's playing with in the movie, those are probably like the only like full version that they probably have casts or molds of them. At some point, and then they made like one set, and that's like the only set set in existence.
I also wouldn't doubt if two things. I wouldn't doubt if those were like bootleg Star Wars toys. Mm-hmm. They, you know, like dollar store Star Wars toys, or they took Star Wars toys and fucked with them. Yeah, like I wouldn't doubt if it was that, because like making your own action figures and doing all the casting was probably over budget. So I can see them being, you know, very cheeky and, you know, fucking with the actual figures of Star Wars. They, yeah, so then it, the fact number four, it says it was shot over a giant swimming pool. Michael Winslow, best known as the sound effects guy from the Police Academy series, said in 2012 that Spaceballs was shot on the MGM lot in Culver City, California, in the heyday of movie focused on swimmers like Ether Williams. The studio had constructed a giant pool that could be covered with retractable flooring. Spaceballs was also used the same soundstage as the 1939 Wizard of Oz. The crew would occasionally see stray pieces of the yellow brick road when milling around.
Jeez, that's crazy.
But if, like, I do think now, since so people do have so much more respect for Mel Brooks now, and I feel if they did do a movie like this, it's there's so much low-hanging fruit to throw in people like Kylo Ren, like the actors from Star Wars, like a lot of them would cross over and want to do it. But if I was writing it, I would make... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I would think that would be the easiest way to get in there. Like,
yeah, I like that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's very low-hanging fruit. So, like, it's not like back in the day where it was not passé. What is it called? Like, it was looked down on. It was looked down on to do those type of movies. So, but if I was writing it, like, I like your idea about having an emperor, but I would make the emperor Picard. The guy who plays Picard, what's his name? Stop coughing, man. Say his fucking name.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, I would make him Patrick Stewart, because that's the ultimate, like, the big bad guy in a Star Wars parody is fucking Star Trek. Like, I would do something like that. Or,
but he's Patrick Stewart playing Avery Bullock. He's playing that style.
Yeah.
In the thing. I think, I don't know, like, because it would be easy to cross over any one of those guys or make parodies of it, but I feel like the thing about that is more like as much as Spaceballs is a parody, I feel like it's not, because like there were no, like it was tongue-in-cheek, like you knew that, you know, Yogurt was supposed to be Yoda and Darth Helmet was Darth Vader, but like they do it and then they're like looking dead at the camera while they're fucking doing it in your face. So I feel like, you know, like, you know, if there was a dude who was Kylo Ren, in theory, like, I guess not to take it too seriously, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep it funny. Like,
what that, I mean is the actor, not Kylo Ren, the character.
Oh, like bring some of them in for cameos.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, having those actors, because I don't know his fucking name. I'm talking about, like, bringing in the actors. Like, wouldn't that be hilarious? Like, if Lone Star's dad is Mark Hamill, but he's playing Mr. Star or what, like whatever, like however they want to, you know, he's like duo star, not lone. You know, I don't know. Like if they did, it would have been amazing if him and Carrie Fisher were his parent, his Lone Star's parents. I think that would have been hilarious.
What the fuck is the name of the guy who plays Kylo Ren? I forgot his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. You want to take a pause? Like, hey Siri, who plays Kylo Ren?
I found Adam Driver.
There you go. Craig Smith. Adam Driver. Thank you, sir.
That cocksucker.
But yeah, I really would love for it to be like a spoof and a look at the camera, but using all of the like beloved Star Wars people or the beloved actors now in random crazy roles. You know what I mean? That I think that would be funny. Not serious. I don't want it to be serious. I don't want it to, I want it to have the same feeling as the first. This one also says Bill Pullman was Brooks' third choice.
Shit.
According to Bill Pullman, the actor who had not yet had a starring role was approached by Brooks only after Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise turned down the role of Lone Star. The Han Solo-esque lead of the film, Pullman, said that hiring Rick Moranis and John Candy freed Brooks up to cast a relative unknown.
I might be able to see Tom Hanks, but not Tom Cruise. Like, Tom Cruise, I don't think Tom Cruise has ever really done anything really that funny. I don't think he's ever really done comedy.
I don't even I can't even see Tom Hanks. Like, granted, we're biased because we know what we only can see what we have, but
yeah, but it's weird. Tom Hanks's range blows Tom Cruise out of the fucking water, no fucking question.
Like, Tom Hanks
was in tons of funny movies in the 80s and 90s, so I think he could kind of fit. Like, he could bring a certain type of thing to it. He looks too young. Like, he looks too innocent. Where Bill Pullman, you know, he looked like he already ran around the block a few times.
In a non-gay way, I don't think Tom Hanks is sexy enough. Because Lone Star has to be kind of the heartthrob.
Yeah, Tom Cruise's baby face, and Bill Pullman looked like a young Tommy Lee Jones before he became droopy.
I don't think so. Tommy Lee Jones was never handsome.
Because you never saw him before he became droopy dog.
I think Tommy Lee Jones and Morgan Freeman both looked 80 when they were 20.
I think so. And if I was Tommy Lee Jones, I would get some cosmetic surgery to get all some of that eye shit removed, because this shit is so puffy. It just looks so sag, bro. Just smash
that or just clothespins. So then number six is, the crew thought working with green screen might damage their eyes. Spaceballs took its effects seriously, and the cast and crew needed to spend a lot of time in front of green screen. At the time, the process was still relatively new, and the production had a suspicion that the environment might be damaging to a person's eyesight. With this unfounded concern in mind, Pullman and the cast wore sunglasses in between shots.
Jeez.
I do understand that. And I will, even when I watch it, when I watch Spaceballs now, it never seemed like a spoof to me.
I never watched it
and was like, wow, this looks cheesy or shitty. It always looked funny. And I do feel maybe some of the practical stuff they did made it, you know, gave it longevity. Yeah.
All the ships were practical, like all the small models. And like it definitely still holds up, still looks good.
Yeah, I'm good for, you know, it's not 4K, but it still looks pretty good. Number seven, Brooks had a bad reaction to his yogurt makeup. In addition to directing and co-writing, Brooks had two roles in the film, one as President Scroob and another as Yogurt, a diminutive Yoda equivalent. In 2012, Brooks told the AV Club that he had an allergic reaction to the latex, which created a rash that spread into his eyes. Brooks also only gave the team 1 hour to apply his makeup. If it took any longer, he insisted he get out of the chair and leave.
Jeez, I had the whole ass. But the worst part is the fucking rashes. It's probably because they use a lot of fucking shit that they shouldn't have been using.
Latex. No, latex is very, like, people do break out from even latex gloves. You know, latex itself, if they use latex paint, they probably had to put, like, a base layer down and then latex on top of it. Like, some people can't wear latex, like, gloves on their hands. They'll break out, so they have to wear the other, what is it, nitro, whatever. I think it's a different material.
We got a latex Jimmy.
Yeah, probably your dick will probably look like Pizza the Hut. Let's see. Dot Matrix was a famous mime. Voiced by Joan Rivers, the service robot Dot Matrix was actually inhabited by Lorraine Yarnell, one part of the largely forgotten mime duo of Shields and Yarnell. The two had a variety show in 1970s that featured a reoccurring skit called The Clinkers, a robot couple that allowed the performers to show off some impressively stilted moves. In real life, Shields and Yarnell were married for a time. Their ceremony was performed in pantomime.
Jeez. I mean, I never knew that. I don't know who that is.
I don't know. I know the voice of her, but I also was always impressed by the... Granted, I'm not going to lie. At most of my life, I always thought Joan Rivers was in that robot.
I knew that she was just a voiceover. But I never knew who was inside of the robot.
And then let's see. Oh, speaking of pizza, number nine, the Pizza Hut guy. Oh, and actually another thing I always thought, you know, the guy who is with Pizza the Hut?
The silver guy?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Vinny,
yeah. I always thought, don't make fun of me, I always thought that was Robert De Niro. Because there's one part where he does this, pizza's gonna come after you. And when he looks at the camera, the way his mannerisms are, I always thought that was De Niro. Always. Until I was probably like 20-something.
I never thought that. I always thought that silver guy, that was his bit, and he was famous for that. I don't know if that was invented for the movie, or that was like a guy with a thing that he was doing his own. Like they brought that was his bit, and they brought him in to the movie to do his bit.
So the pizza guy, the guy playing Pizza the Hut, refused to come back. Though Don DeLuise voiced Jabba stand-in Pizza the Hut for the film, he was not required, nor was likely willing, to be covered in pounds of fake molten cheese. The honor went to actor and effects Richard Caron, who, when additionally shooting was required, however, Caron simply refused to climb back into the suit. Effects artist Rick Lazzarini took his place. So the guy who played the Hut first didn't want to get back into the suit, so the effects artist took his spot in the suit.
Supposedly it was like really brutal. They were putting all that cheese. They actually had heat guns, like melting it, and it was like burning on the inside and shit. Apparently, it was a very brutal fucking suit to wear.
Well, if we learned anything from the Godzilla, where the guy almost died and he had to like wear the suit for minutes at a time, and then had to take it off because there was no, you know, breathing in there. I could see that being a problem here as well.
Lost like 40 pounds of sweat.
Yeah. Barf's ears upstaged the actor. John Candy, who played half dog, half man Barf, was usually trailed on set by Lazzarini, which is the effects guy, and the effects crew, who had to control both his tail and his ears. At one point, Lazzarini was told by Brooks that he didn't have to move the ears so much. They were too active in scenes focused on other characters. Candy incidentally performed with a 40-pound battery pack strapped to him to control the animatronics.
Jeez.
That's 80s battery, so that shit must have been scalding hot.
Yeah, not just that, but imagine any of those scenes where he's got like where he's sitting down on the ship and stuff like that. Like, it must have been hard to do anything with that giant backpack on. That's, I wonder, brutal. His back kind of look a little weird.
It says number 11. Lucas loved it, perhaps because Brooks paid him off. One of Brooks' strategies to ensure continued cooperation from Lucasfilm was to book their service for post-production work worth nearly $5 million. You know what I did not to have any real trouble, Brooks said? I called Lucas and I said, I want you guys up in San Francisco at the ranch or whatever to do all the post-production work of the movie. And he said, oh, great, great. Lucas later wrote Brooks a note saying how much he loved the movie.
Well, you know, for yeah, pay me. But I would hope that he would have genuinely liked it, because it's like when your art makes somebody else make art, I think that's like the greatest thing.
But it's also to me, I never, if Lucas didn't like it, like for argument, if Lucas was like, hey, I don't like this, I don't see Spaceballs as disrespectful. I see Spaceballs as someone that loves Star Wars or loved the genre and made something that he thought was a funny version. Like, yeah. I don't see it as disrespectful to the actual art of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of those companies, they rip your ass for a parody or fucking even using their logo, anything remote. Like, I could see, like, lawsuits flying left, right, and center. And what? It seems like Star Wars was no different.
So, can you think of another parody that you like as much as Spaceballs?
Blazing Saddles.
Well, no, but isn't Blazing Saddles its own thing, though, right?
Blazing like Saddles, it's a spoof off of
Western. It's like the original Scary Movie type deal, but like, one of my favorite comedies of all time is Galaxy. I love Galaxy Quest so much, and it breaks my heart that they'll never make another one because what's his face? The hell is his name? He was in Die Hard.
He played Metatron and Clark's.
Yes. No. Dogma.
He was Snape.
Professor Alvin Snape. Rickman. Since he's dead, you know, I can't see them recasting him. So I think that breaks my heart that they can't make more. But it's such a simple premise that it gets me every time, and it's so fucking funny to me.
I never really watched a lot of parody movies. Like when they started with like really. When they started spoofing parody movies,
that's like Scary Movie.
Yeah, that kind of took it down the drain for me. That was like a thing. Like I never really went near any of those movies after the fact because I Spaceball, Blazing, like the Mel Brooks Library. I didn't watch all those things until like later in life. You know what I'm saying? I got an appreciation for what he did.
So number 12 is R.L. Stine wrote a novelization. It says film comedies, particularly those relying on broad visual gags, are rarely fodder for tie-in novelization. But perhaps that was the joke. To accompany the release of the film, pre-Goosebumps, R.L. Stine wrote Spaceballs the Book, a young adult version of the story that substituted some of the stronger language and bits for child-friendly content. It remains the only exclusion to Lucasfilm's no tie-in mandate.
I guess it's not really a merchandise per se.
And then we have number 13. The animated series spoofed the prequel trilogy. While Spaceballs performed modestly during its initial release, it was rediscovered by audiences by following in the wake of the persistent interest in all things Star Wars. When Lucasfilm prequel trilogy was wrapping in 2005, Brooks produced and directed a 13-episode season of Spaceballs the Animated Series. Daphne Zuniga, Princess Vespa, and Joan Rivers, Dot Matrix, were along with Brooks the only returning cast members for voice acting.
I never even knew there was an animated series until then. Or at least at the time, I had no clue.
Number 14 is Rick Moranis was offered a sequel. Rick Moranis, who played Dark Helmet, retired from acting in 1990s to focus on his family and his musical career. In 2013, he told Heeb magazine that that Brooks was interested in a sequel, which Moranis suggested could be titled Spaceballs 3. So that was Moranis' joke, apparently. Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2. The film had, by the point, done very well on home video. Brooks was only lukewarm on the idea, and Moranis found the financial offer underwhelming. Brooks, who has never done a sequel, joked during the film's production that the follow-up will be titled Spaceballs 2, The Search for... That's also funny, too, that he never sequeled any of his movies.
I guess he knew that... Well, I guess it depends on the sequel, because a lot of sequels did hit pretty good in the 80s.
Well, yeah, I mean, because even like Adam Sandler is the same way. Adam Sandler's only sequel two of his movies. He's not a really big sequel guy. Like Grown Ups is the only one that has a sequel. And then Hotel Transylvania has four movies, which he makes. Dude, Adam Sandler's like in the $700 million range.
That's only because those are animated, so they're much easier, I think, to sequelize. But like sequelizing a movie all the like year, like 20, 30 years later, like Coming to America, Bill and Ted, I think there's definitely an inherent risk. Even Star Wars, sequelizing Star Wars all these years later, there was a huge inherent risk of it.
But I think Spaceballs doesn't have a risk because they can easily make it for Netflix or Hulu or something.
Yeah, I think they can definitely get away with that. But I guess the question would be more like, you know, if it doesn't capture the same magic that the first one did, I think that'll be it'll get panned across the board. So
yeah, it's definitely tough. I always worry about that because I once thought they were gonna make a like Young Frankenstein or Men in Tights Part 2. Yeah. And I just always wondered, you know, would that go over well? I think it would be kind of cool if in Spaceballs he had some people from other ones of his movies, like if Corey Ellis or whatever comes in, the guy who played the main character in Men in Tights, Robin Hood.
That's the guy from Saw.
Yeah, like it would be funny if he, you know, returned as some form of like space Robin Hood. Like I think they can really go to town with this and bring the fan service, but it would also ultimately come down to would they actually be able to make merchandise now? Because if they can't, if they could make merchandise now, it would be amazing. Like people would go to town, not even toys, just anything. You know, yeah. Schwartz rings.
Spaceballs, yeah, a T-shirt like right across the board. Yeah, I wonder how that would go now. Because the question is, like, because obviously, you know, whatever deal they made, I don't know, the question is, that deal wasn't really in writing, or at least it's not suggested that it was. It was more just like a handshake kind of deal. But, you know, also then again, like certain parody is definitely, it has more loose ends of not being able to be sued for parodying something. Like, I guess some of the theory is, if he acts to parody something and they tell you no, you parry it and you do a parody, then you can get in trouble. But if you just parody something, you're kind of just in a little bit different territory. So
do you think he might be grandfathered in because they did a first one already?
I mean, Lucas doesn't own it anymore. So I guess whatever deal he had with Lucas is probably dead. It would be him against Disney You know what I'm saying? And I don't, and Disney is fucking so happy, like a bunch of fucking, I don't even want to.
I also don't see them, one, being in on a Mel Brooks type movie, and two, if Mel Brooks did make a part two, and people start going into Mel Brooks's old history and shit, dude, they're gonna in 2021, they're gonna tear him down for Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. The worst part is, like, Blazing Saddles is not even, I don't even think Blazing Saddles is that bad by comparison to Quentin Tarantino or Spike Lee stuff. Like,
well, no, like, I don't think Blazing Saddles is bad. I just think for it's very in your face. I don't consider the movie racist because he made the lead a black guy for a reason. Like, he's that movie is showing that Mel Brooks is not racist.
No, the point
he's of making fun of everybody.
it's taking racism and putting it on display, but making fun of it at the same time. We should probably do a whole Blazing Saddles episode because I got Blazing Saddles info for days if you want it.
All right, maybe next time.
In the next episode, Blazing Saddles 2, the search for more saddles.
So I was looking at, what is this, Reddit? Oh, funtrivia.com. So these, I just looked at the first question. These are easy.
I'm going to slaughter them.
Yeah, these are silly. Like, what was Lord Helmet doing privately in his room? John Candy plays a creature that is half man, half what?
If you think about it, who was the first guy to fuck a dog?
What?
How did they get half man, half dog hybrid? Somebody, some guy had to fuck a dog at some point.
What if it was gene splicing and he was like an experiment?
And how'd they spawn a whole race of people?
I mean, how many Moggs do you see in the movie?
It's an infinite amount if you want. But he doesn't suggest that he's the only one. He says he just represents himself as he's a Mogg. He's representing himself like it's not a big deal.
Oh, this one's kind of hard. What is the first line spoken in the movie? That's actually a small amount of peas.
The funny thing was I just watched baseballs this week.
All right, let me click for the answer. Colonel Sanders. Because I remember he asked him, are we nearing Druidia?
Yeah.
How did the people in the diner know they were on Pluto? I know this
one. I don't know.
From the bark, you dummies. what chapter of Spaceball saga does this film show? I never paid attention to the scroll.
I don't know.
11.
Jeez.
Motherfucker skipped over mad shit. let's see. Number 7. What statement can be read on a bumper sticker located on the back of Spaceballs 1?
We break for nobody.
Yeah. How long of a break does Dark Helmet say Spaceballs should take?
5 minutes.
Smoke if you got him. What did the alien do after it jumped out of the guy's stomach?
It started dancing. It started doing the...
And singing.
Yeah.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my ragtime gal.
I want to say that's the Michigan J.
Yeah. Take a drink every time this actor as Prince Valium yawn. Damn. What actor plays Prince? Yeah, that I don't know. J.M.J. Bullock. What is the name of John Candy's character?
I mean, that's
a... Pizza the Hut.
What is it? What's his name?
Barf.
Bartholomew. Yeah.
But Pizza the Hut calls him Puke.
Yeah, good enough.
Puke. Or does he say Puke, Fat Ass, or whatever, something like that. Who plays Princess Vespa? Daphne Zuniga. What planet do Lone Star and Company crash land on? It's a it's a moon, no?
Failing, he says it when they're gonna...
All right, I gotta click. We're recording. I gotta click.
it's before the Comb the Desert scene.
The moon of Vega. What planet does President Screw wish to take all the air supply from? Druidia. Still laughed at. I remember the first time I caught that he was drinking Perry Air. I laugh so much harder at who is the spaceball that is shot because he disobeyed Dark Helmet in the beginning of the... That's fucking brutal.
Isn't he got shot? Didn't he crush his balls?
He has a name, apparently. It says Colonel Sanders says his name in the very first scene inside Spaceball.
He's like, you're such a spaceball.
His name is Sergeant Rico.
I don't think they say that in the movie.
It says the only one way to find out.
You tell.
Maybe he had a name tag?
No.
Okay, so what kind of yogurt is yogurt?
Plain, just plain yogurt.
It's still funny. You got to take a shit again? Jesus.
Can we take a quick pause?
What, because you have to dump out? You got to drop some heat? Sorry, we had to take a quick pause because somebody had to dump out.
I had to drop some space balls.
I don't remember where we were. I'm just going to jump to 17. It says, it says, take a drink every time this parody of the Star Wars Force is mentioned. Two drinks if it's actually used. What is the source of Yogurt's Dark Helmet and Lone Star's power? So, the Schwartz. Who was Princess Vespa originally supposed to marry? Okay. Prince William. Who did the voice of Pizza the Hut? See, I told you, these are mad easy.
Yeah. There's only a couple we didn't
How know fast about. Can Spaceball 1 go?
Ludicrously fast. Actually, Plaid, technically.
How many engines does the Spaceball 1 boast?
Three.
They must have hyperjets on that thing. And what do we got on this thing? A Cuisinart? No, sir.
That's...
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Are you a chicken?
My next question was, what are your favorite scenes from the movie? Like a scene that can make you laugh out loud every time.
I would have to say that scene with the prepare ship. And then when fucking Dark Helmet goes through and he's like, oh, we stopped? Yeah, let's take a 5-minute break. Smoke if you got him. And then he just fucking falls over.
I think that scene is great. And the one where after Spaceballs 1 goes to Plaid and they're running out of gas. And he turns around, he's like, give me a reading. And he's like, I'm about to watch him a Halloween. He's like, but he just busts that shit out so fucking fast that shit always makes me laugh. But it's just so fucking funny. He hits him with like, he's like, would you stop that? Like, he's done that shit before or something.
Yeah, I think that's funny. Or even just when he keeps hitting him in the face with the tail. Like, honestly, John Candy, you know, he definitely, you know, made the movie for me. Him and then the Rick Moranis Colonel Sanders stuff is always fucking hilarious.
Top. I think they had like the best jokes in the whole movie. Their back and forth was not only was it good, but they had the
better jokes. Anytime they're on Spaceballs 1 is hilarious to me. I thought like the yogurt parts are kind of like hit and miss, but the main stuff on the ship is always like the who gave you the raspberry, Lone Star, like all of that. Those are some of my favorite like. Of all time, just always make me fucking laugh.
It's like who made that? Who made that man a gunner? I did. He's an ass. I know that.
That's what I'm saying. There's so much in there that, like, every time you watch it, you might catch something new, which is like the best kind of movies. Number 22. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say. I think you're right. All the best jokes are on Spaceballs 1.
Yeah, I can. Like, I get the Ewoks, or not the Ewoks, the sand people. No.
Dinks.
They're dink things, but what are they supposed to be? Jawas.
They're Jawas.
Yeah. I thought those are kind of funny, but when Vespa's getting played by him and he's like, Vespa, and he's like playing her, I didn't think that was good, but when you see Dark Helmet wearing the fucking sand safari gear, that shit's still funny.
The black guy.
We ain't find shit. Yeah, that's pretty good. I think the Lone Star and Barf interactions and you know like their chemistry is always good as well.
One of the other funny scenes was on the desert, and he's pulling the fucking big ass box. He's like, what's in this? And they open it up. It's a hair dryer. And he just fucking drops it. It hits the fucking floor. And she's like, pick that up. And he's like, you pick that up. And then the fucking, what makes the whole scene fucking stupid is that he keeps hauling the box. And he's like, oh, man, this is much better now. Like, you fucking dumbass, drop the box.
Yeah, I think that's, like, those scenes or even just how Scroob, like, is a player. Or when he gets warped backwards and you see the chick and she's looking at his junk. There's a lot of sexual innuendo that you miss as a kid.
Yeah, when he walks in, he does the salute. But when he does it, when he's running on the baseball, he just gives him the business. Which I don't. We gotta figure out what that means one day.
Where was President Scrooge's heir made? Okay, what? Okay, this one's. What was Pongo going to review on their TV?
Rocky 5000.
Yep, I remember that one.
Damn.
What play? Okay, this is the Colonel Sand. Let's go to page 2. Oh, what did Mega Maid went from suck to what? Yeah, I think I really wish I'm gonna keep skipping forward until we get like. Oh, what was their license plate? Eagle 5 coming in for land.
You ever notice the license plate on her car when they bring the car up in the loading bay?
I probably have, but I haven't. I literally haven't watched Spaceballs in probably like.
It's abbreviated, but it says Spoiled Rotten 1.
What did the radar guy... Oh, what did the radar guy's radar lose?
The beeps and the sweeps. The bleeps,
the sweeps, and the creeps.
That was the guy from fucking...
If you say Police Academy, I'm going to spit at you. We said that like five times already.
I don't know what else that guy ever did after those. What the hell was that?
Michael Winslow.
Yeah, I wonder what else he's done.
How did Pizza the Hut die?
Did he get stuck in his own car?
He ate himself to death. Yeah, he ate himself to death. Lock himself in a limo and eating himself to death. Let's see. What was King Roland's combination? What song are the little sand people dinking along to? Spaceballs. What placemats do they have at dinner? Spaceballs the placemats.
I guess I never noticed.
What is the model of year? What is the model year of Princess Vespa's Mercedes Benz?
It's like a 2001.
Yeah, which is mad funny. Like, and King Roland is Jewish.
you would think every movie in the 80s thought in the year 2000 we'd have everything.
They didn't guess that we would be on TikTok dancing like dumbass.
Or eating fucking buckets of cinnamon like a mix.
What are the name of the coffee machine and the radar screen?
Mr. Coffee.
Mr.
Radar. Which that's also a great scene. He was like, was all that churning and buffing? He's like, that's the coffee. He was like, you know, I always drink coffee when I watch her. He's like, of course I do, sir. And then they, you know, cracks everybody else. That shit is so.
Or even just when Scrooge makes him, he doesn't like when he, don't talk to me with that thing on.
yeah.
Oh, actually, this is what is Princess Vespa's space car license? Yeah, Spoiled Rot N1.
Yeah. So it, I mean, obviously abbreviated for license.
What does the bumper sticker on Lone Star ship read? I think it's I love Uranus. Yep, I love Uranus. What flavor is the jam? I already know, we talked about that one. Hey, there you go. What's Pizza the Hut's sidekick name? Vinny, the gangster robot. What stopped Princess Vespa and Lone Star from kissing?
The Virgin Alarm.
That's Virgin Alarm.
Which is fucked up in more ways than one. Talk about a cock block.
Yeah, let's see. When Princess Vespa is kidnapped by Dark Helmet, what does he threaten to do to her? If her father refuses to meet the man,
give her back her old nose. That's a fucked up nose, by the way. God damn.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked up. Since Lone Star doesn't know where he is from, where does he say he was found?
Like on a monastery or something?
The doorstep of the monastery. But what I would ask you is, in what galaxy?
Galaxy.
Which is the name of the car, which is pretty funny. Why do they have the same? It says, what's Pizza Hut's right hand man's name? But they spell Vinny differently. Than the first time. Okay, some of these are the same, just spelled differently or asked differently. Who's the name of the Spaceballs crewman who beams people down? Snotty.
Snotty.
Yeah, some of these are like, it asks, like, how did he die? Oh, here's one. What are the twin sisters' name?
Charlene and Marlene.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy because, you know, our mom's name.
Or when he's sleeping with them, they mess around in the bed, space balls, the bed sheet, and shit like that.
Yeah, he was definitely banging both of them.
You notice Mel Brooks bangs a lot of chicks in his movies.
Smart play. I mean, think about Adam Sandler's wives in all his movies. They all the baddest chicks ever. And what's funny is that Mel Brooks was actually in Hotel Transylvania 3. He played his father. He was Dracula. And then like when he turned into a bat, it was like gray. it was pretty funny. Okay, so the last one is, who got the last escape pod? The bear. So to end, we didn't really get to write the sequel. We did get to talk about it because it is definitely pretty hard to write the sequel to one of the best Mel Brooks movies ever. But I do think you have a good, like, the Emperor thing would work. I still think Picard should play the Emperor because I just think that would be pretty funny. And how do you feel about Lone Star's dad being Mark Hamill?
Yeah, I go. I mean, fucking Mark Hamill, he could do it all, but it would definitely end the Lone Star, like dual star. That thing you can make a joke out of.
Yeah,
that.
Like he's not lone. He's, you know, duo or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be good. But Barf, without maybe Kevin James. Could play Barf. Because he's big and does have physical comedy.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty funny, but maybe he could be like Barf's like litter from one of his kids.
Yeah, exactly. He could be vomit or something, like puke. Like, he can actually be named something, you know, spew or something. Or his name's Chunks.
Yeah. Well, the question is, you got to give Barf like a dignified... like a dignified death, or you could like give him a like Barf got Barf got killed like chasing a space car or something like that.
I don't think you necessarily need to kill him. I think maybe just like after they get paid, you know, he goes to live, you know, on a like they give him like a dog island or something, like a Mog retreat. I don't think they should kill him. Because they never really do that in movies when like the actor dies, they never really kill the person.
No, because he could have him you can have like a stuffed version of him somewhere in the ship or something like that, like to remember him. Or
I think it would be funny that he died. Like, how did he die? You know, saving the planet? No, you know, he died doing what he loved, chasing his tail.
He chased his tail right out the airlock. Yeah, one time.
Something like that. Or, you know, he choked on a bad bone or something. I definitely could see that. Yeah, and it kind of fits too. But I think Kevin James, like being his son or something, would definitely work.
And then they should upgrade the ship too, from like Eagle 5 to like Eagle 10 or something, and make it like the same ship, but like with new options and stuff like that, like, you know, like a different interior, but keep the same like outside, but, you know, like jazz it up a little bit, you know?
Or just keep the same shitty thing, and then like he has like power windows or something, like one improvement on the ship, like something, the dumbest shit, like... It, basically something that's new in the 90s. like it's like power steering, or, you know, he's like, you don't need chains on the wheel, something fucking stupid.
They go, he can pull out the radio or something.
Yeah, like I think that's something is very silly. Like, he has that, and then like Spaceballs 2, you know, because it can't be Spaceballs 1, so they have Spaceballs 2. I think it could be pretty funny. But yeah, I really hope they do make something. I would love to have, like I said, those toys. I've always researched them and looked to see if anyone made like custom versions. I found them one time on eBay. They were like custom versions. They were like $500 or something. It's like $100 a pop. But they didn't really look that good. But I would love a Barf toy. To close, think. So there was random. I had a. Oh, so Spaceballs was the most expensive film Brooks would ever produce, costing $25 million. He came close with Dracula Dead and Loving It in 1995 by spending $22 million. To put into perspective, in 1967, Brooks' first film to producers was less than $1 million.
Jeez. Considering $22 million in the 80s when he has probably a shitload of money.
Yeah, I definitely pretty...
But I mean, like that $22 million budget shows, because you never really feel like you're getting cheaped out in the effects and things. Even the scenes at the end with the beach and stuff like that, like that's the location shot, save for all those rocks. But like they're like, look, they're really shooting on a beach and shit like that. You really get that.
Oh, green screen, bro. Look. Just wear your glasses for safety. So don't forget to rate and subscribe to Knuckleheads Podcast on iTunes, iTunes, Podbean, all platforms. Buy our merchandising on Teespring. Our link is in the description. I'm the fanboy.
I'm the hater. And remember, we break for nobody.
I had another ending. How many assholes we got on this podcast? Yo!
Yo!